You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed Honora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. It is a testimony to character, achieving your dream, and a victory for every long shot, every underdog who fights and fights until he wins. Our guest waited while more than 1,000 players were chosen before him in the 33rd round of the 2011 draft. After 6 years of grinding through Philadelphia's minor league system, he finally made it to the big leagues at age 27. In fact, you may have seen his emotional reaction, which garnered national attention and went viral. Here is the inspiring story of Philadelphia first baseman Brock Stassi. When you are the 1,021st player chosen in the draft, how many millions of dollars do you get to sign?
Signed for $1,000. So basically, after taxes, it was like $800 and a plane ticket.
What did you do with the money?
Actually, funny story. I lost 30% of it the first night I got it at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut at a blackjack table. So it went kind of fast.
A scout named Joey Davis saw something in Brock Stassi.
Yeah, he drafted me out of the University of Nevada and, you know, took a flyer on me. I spoke to him the second day of the draft, and I had some shoulder issues that year in high school because I was a pitcher as well, so he kept asking if my shoulder was okay, and they tried to get me earlier, but they didn't take me earlier, and then day three ended up getting the call.
You weren't losing hope, were you?
Oh, yeah. After day two ended, I was pretty bummed out, you know. I always believed in myself that I was should have been a higher draft pick, but it ended up working out this way.
And you come from a baseball-playing family, three generations of catchers who played professional ball.
Yeah, my dad caught in the Giants organization. My younger brother catches for the Houston Astros. My grandfather caught, and his brother caught as well.
And you probably would have caught if you were right-handed.
Yeah, if I caught a little bit in Little League because nobody could catch Max when he pitched. So I did actually catch a little bit in Little League.
How did that go?
It went all right. You know, Max threw really hard, so nobody could really catch him. I was really the only one because we had all that time together playing in the backyard and stuff. So I was used to how hard he threw and stuff like that. So it went all right.
Haven't gotten back there and strapped it on. Have you ever wondered why there are no left-handed catchers?
Not really. That throw to third's kind of tough. You see it in softball, so it's a different level up here for sure.
You start out in pro ball. You struggle your first year, and in spring training 2012, they send you to extended. And now you're much older than the kids you're playing against. What was that like?
That was tough, you know. I was pretty upset. I didn't break camp with a club, but I was, you know, I was upset for a couple days, and then I was like, all right, it's time to get to work. So after those couple days, I ended up, making the most of that opportunity, and I'm very thankful that they kept me around. And my manager was Andy Tracy, who's our minor league hitting coordinator now, and he asked me, you know, hey, if you don't want to play every day, you know, you let me know. And I said, no, make sure you put me in there every day. And he did. I played every single day and extended, got a lot of ABs, learned a lot, and all those reps really helped.
I bet it did, but mentally it was tough.
Yeah, definitely. Extended's not any place you want to be, especially I think I was 22 at the time. You're playing against, you know, a lot of young
kids out of high school.
Yeah, out of high school, or even Latin kids that sign and come over at 16. So it's a lot of younger kids, and but I love playing the game, and I made the most of it, and it's not a place you want to be. I mean, there's probably five people at each one of those games and stuff. It's on the minor league backfield, so it's
in daytime when it's boiling hot.
Exactly, in Florida, in the middle of the day, 1 o'clock games pretty much every day, and so it was a grind for sure.
You're playing college ball at the University of Nevada, Reno, and the story goes that you constantly read blogs. And one of them said, quote, Stassi ended up at the University of Nevada. At least he'll get his education. But those who doubted you, I'm thinking, fueled your fire.
Absolutely. And I mentioned this in an earlier interview. You know, for some reason when I was a kid, there was a Kobe Bryant Sprite commercial where Kobe was working out and talking about all the people that doubted him and thanking people for that, you know, using that as motivation. And I kind of, for some reason, that commercial stuck with me when I was a young kid and I saw that. And yeah, I printed out that article and posted it on my wall and saw that every morning and just tried to prove people wrong on a daily basis, and that's what I'm still trying to do to this day.
You're in AA 3 years ago, and your younger brother Max, who had made it to the Houston Astros, suggested that you alter your swing. What did he tell you? What did he say?
Well, we got in touch with a hitting guy named Bobby Tewksbury, who's kind of bursted on the scene the past couple of years, and this was before he'd blown up. Max played with Josh Donaldson when Josh was a catcher with Oakland, so they knew each other pretty well, and he knew that Josh went and saw Bobby and, you know, kind of got him to where he was today with his swing mechanics and stuff like that. So I was never into swing mechanics, but it was kind of like I struggled that year in AA, and I was like, you know what,
I got nothing to lose.
I need to try something, and made some big swing adjustments and started hitting with a leg kick and doing different things with my upper body. And luckily, when I got to spring training that year, I hit the ground running, and they let me work with that swing.
And things really took off after that.
Yeah, that was a very good year that year for me and for Reading in general. We made it to the championship series and ended up losing in game five. But yeah, it was a blast.
Your younger brother made it to the major leagues before you did, and yet there was no animosity on your part.
No way. We're each other's biggest fans, honestly, and we talk every day. You know, he got up there in 2013 when I was in high A still, and he was, I think, 22 or 23. And so I was more than happy for him. I was thrilled, and hopefully he can get back up there sometime soon.
During the 2014 and 15 seasons, you're working as a substitute teacher, you're giving hitting lessons at night, and you're maintaining your off-season work schedule. People don't know how difficult it is being in the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's tough. Had to start substitute teaching just to be able to pay bills.
And what were you teaching?
Anything from high school PE down all the way to, I think I subbed a fourth grade, third grade class one time. My dad's a high school teacher, so I had kind of had the in at the high school, so I worked a lot of high school. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, basically during the season in the minor leagues, you rack up your credit card because you're not making enough to live on, and get to the off season, and that's why I've gone down to Venezuela the past couple of years, is to pay off my debts from the seasons.
It's another paycheck.
Exactly. So I would go down to Venezuela after I had a good year in 15. And finally could find a job down there that pays pretty well, and went down there and played the past couple of years.
And then in 2015, you have a fantastic year in the Eastern League, and you win the Most Valuable Player Award. So what did that do for you psychically?
Oh, man, that gave me a lot of confidence that my swing could play at that level. And they always say, you know, AA is kind of the make-or-break level, right, where, you know, it's really, you're getting close. It doesn't seem like it when you're there. You're like, oh, man, we're still playing in smaller towns, and the big league still seems far away. But you see quite a few guys getting – my brother got called up from AA, and you see here and there guys get called up from that level. So to see that my swing played at that level and I had some success there, it gave me a lot of confidence.
And then in AAA last year as well?
Yeah, AAA last year, you know, got off to kind of a slow start, and then made a minor adjustment to my load and had a good second half and took that into winter ball and had a really good winter ball. So, yeah, it went well last year too.
So I would think that going into spring training, your confidence had never been higher in the entire time in which you were a professional baseball player.
No, yeah, definitely being my second big league camp. My first one, you know, I was kind of not starstruck, but kind of like just trying to learn how things went on that side. And
this time you think you belong.
Exactly. This time it was my mission to make the team because I knew there were a couple bench spots up for grabs, and luckily I hit the ground running and had a successful spring.
Brock Stassi with us from the Philadelphia Phillies on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Here now in spring training, you're playing against guys you've been watching on TV, and you really got to catch yourself.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in all that, but you know, the success that I had in spring against these guys, You know, it's not, I haven't really been in the box and been like, oh man, I'm facing, you know, I face some good pitching so far, Scherzer, Strasburg, but I haven't felt overmatched really at all. It's been, you know, they still have to come throw it across the plate, and maybe they have more velocity and they're off better command of their off speed, but they still have to come across the plate. So haven't really been like in too much of awe when I'm in the box. So it's been very cool though.
And spring training moves along, and then finally, they say you're going north with the team. Where were you told?
They called me in the office the second to last day, I believe, and they told me that I made the club. Pete called me into the office, and Larry Bowe was in there, our GM, assistant GM, and farm director were in there, and they just all congratulated me. It was a real quick meeting, and it was awesome.
I would have lost it too.
Yeah. I kept it together when they told me, but then when I got out and tried to call my parents, they both didn't answer. So,
oh man, yeah. What was that like?
They were both working, so they couldn't answer their phones at the time. So I was out by the field, and Diego, one of our PR guys, came and grabbed me, said, "Hey, the media wants to talk to you at your locker." So I went over there, and that was really the first people that I talked to about it. About making the team, you know, as a media, so it all kind of hit me at once, and I lost it.
But everybody found it endearing. They thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, the feedback that I got, you know, on social media has been awesome. People in Philadelphia, you know, reaching out to me and telling me how my story inspired them, and I was really taken back and didn't expect any of that, so it's been unreal.
You got 20 family members in the ballpark in Cincinnati on opening day. Tell us about your first Major League opening day.
Oh, it was special. You know, standing on that line for the national anthem and having the flyover and stuff like that was cool. And then I got my first AB.
Pinch hitting.
Yeah, pinch hit. I can't remember what inning it was. It might have been the seventh or something like that. But, you know, standing in the on-deck circle, I was kind of nervous. But then when I got in the box, everything kind of came back to me, and I was able to stay in the moment and got to 3-0, and Juan Samuel gave me the green light, and
my
heart kind of started racing there, but no, it was a moment I'll never forget for sure.
And then in your second start, in your eighth at bat, your first major league hit was a home run off Addison Reed of the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going around the bases thinking what?
I couldn't believe the ball went out. Honestly, I didn't think I hit it high enough. I know Granderson was shading me in left center, and I pulled it to right center, but I didn't think I hit it high enough to get out. And then I saw the umpire making the home run motion, so I was just, you know, I was sprinting out of the box because we were down two at the time, and I was trying to get extra bases. And then once I still ended up running fast just because my heart was racing, and you know, it was like I was floating on air running around those bases.
Do you even recall going around the bases?
Not really. I remember shaking Juan Samuel's hand coming around third. And then I remember getting back to the dugout and all the teammates being there to greet me. It was a very, very special moment.
They didn't give you the silent treatment or anything like that?
Nah, not the silent treatment. Maybe if it was earlier in the game, then they would have. But it was a kind of a big situation, so everybody was pretty fired up.
And it put you in a very exclusive club. The first major league hit was a home run.
Yeah, you know, that's cool. I never really thought of that. I feel like I see guys do it quite a bit, so it's cool. I wish it would have been with the bases loaded in that first inning, but got me to ground out. But that's very cool.
Yours is a story for all the underdogs out there in whatever business they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I never thought it would turn into what it's turned in. You know, I've gotten messages from the movie Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
He sent
Vince Papale,
yes,
from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Papale, yes, sorry.
Got signed out of a open tryout,
yep,
in the late 70s. Dick Vermeil was the coach of the Eagles. What an incredible movie. What a story.
Yes. He sent our PR guy a message to pass along to me, and just, you know, people reaching out, like, you know, one of my one of my favorites when I was growing up was Nick Swisher. He reached out to me because we played against each other last year when he was in Scranton. And, you know, just it's been crazy. It's been a dream come true, honestly. And
but now on social media, you must be hearing from so many people who you have inspired.
Yeah. It's, you know, I never expected my story to touch so many people like that. And it's been unbelievable, the feedback I've been getting.
Last thing, if there was one word to describe your major league experience and dressing and traveling and playing with the Philadelphia Phillies, what would it be?
One word, the best. I know it's two words, but I mean, every day I'm up here, something that I wouldn't expect happens, you know? That's like when you just think you've seen it all up here, there's something better. Like it just keeps getting better and better each day. It's awesome.
It's a great joy to meet you. So that'll do it for Brock Stassi and myself on MLB.com. If you are on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.